You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, joined by
Dennis.
And no Francis today. We're also recording this remotely from our two separate homes. So there may be some sound issues or a little bit of echo because we're not in our studio where we normally record. For today's episode, we are discussing Deadpool, Dead Presidents by writers Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn and illustrator Tony Moore. We hope you've already read today's title because both of us have read the book, so beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page or over on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. We're now available on YouTube for those of you that are visual learners. So Deadpool, Dead Presidents was written by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn. Jerry has written a number of comic books along with writing and producing Attack of the Show. Brian Posehn has a poker thing that he does, and Jerry's a regular part of that. They also wrote The Last Christmas, which we reviewed in episode 37.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's as soon as I was like, I know these two names from somewhere. And then, and then I was like, oh, that's right. They did Last Christmas. Illustrator Tony Moore is most famously the original artist for the first six issues of The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's why it seemed familiar.
Yeah, I recognize his illustrating style. Deadpool, Dead Presidents was a trade book that was published in 2013 and covers issues 1-6 and overall was part of the relaunch of Deadpool under the Marvel Now series, which the Deadpool series ran from late 2012 to early 2014. Had you read this at all or any of the Marvel Now?
I haven't really read much of the Marvel Now. I haven't definitely read this Deadpool series. I'm surprised it seemed, I thought it was like post-2016. But I guess, I mean, we've always had differences in politics for a while now.
Yeah.
But at least the way it opens up, it almost seemed like a post-Trump kind of.
Or Obama era.
Yeah, exactly.
So chapter one begins with titled, In Wade We Trust. Is that a common Deadpool slogan or something like that?
No.
It's just a play on.
I think it's just referencing.
In God We Trust.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the story starts off in Independence, Missouri with a voiceover saying that America is divided, which definitely feels more contemporary. I mean, this is a contemporary book, but it just feels more of the now than even a decade ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it starts off with this voiceover saying that because America is so divided and things are just falling apart in the country, that this person wants to bring the dead presidents back to basically reinvigorate America and in this division that we have going on, which we then cut to this disheveled man in a kilt while wearing a shield.
And a shield uniform.
A shield like the top of a shield uniform and a red and blue mask. Was this a character?
Well, it seemed like almost like, I think he almost had like Braveheart kind of like face painting.
Oh, that's right. That's
like,
right.
So it's like American, like Ultimate Warrior face painting, but patriotic colors.
Yeah. And I guess probably making fun of that movie too a lot.
Right.
He performs this dark magic ritual to bring back President Truman. And while this happens, Captain America's shield slams into this guy's back. And this guy gets the name The Necromancer. His real name's Michael, but everyone calls him The Necromancer.
I think they just nicknamed him that.
So yeah, the Captain America tries to stop him, but it's too late. President Truman, it turns out we're at the tomb of President Truman, like at his state library. Right. And this I got a little chuckle out of it. Truman rises up out of the grave and says, "Who dares veto the internal rest of Harry S. Truman?"
Right.
But that was pretty
well,
good.
You can tell, you know, at first it starts off a little serious. First couple pages, you're not sure exactly what tone they're trying to strike. But then soon you see with the way the guy's drawn, the dialogue, it's clearly tongue in cheek.
Yeah. And Captain America's not drawn in a manner that's very heroic. It's almost almost like a Mad Magazine parody illustration.
Right. Exactly. So I think that's important because, yeah, it definitely sets the tone for the rest of the book because I wasn't sure if this was going to be a little more dark or what have you. I mean, I knew it was a Deadpool book, but some Deadpool books are a little more serious. So this one set a tone for like a little more of what you would imagine from the movies and such.
And all of the Avengers show up periodically, and they're done in a manner of like you're seeing them as Deadpool sees them, very full of themselves.
Right.
So, yeah, so Mike uses the spell book that he has and fades away. And later you can see the book is a parody of the Necronomicon from
Army of Darkness, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, yeah, thanks. I should know that. I just lost a bunch of nerd cred. There's tons of parodies done in this book.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A lot of,
and then I do like, I mean, this is skipping a little bit ahead, but like, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know every president like really well. And I like that there's a part where Deadpool's like killing some of them and they name themselves off for the people who don't know who they are
or can't recognize them.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, yeah, he uses the book to basically make himself disappear. We later cut to a SHIELD helicarrier where there's an Agent Gorman chewing out another agent by the name of Agent Preston. And there's like bad press about Captain America
decapitating Truman.
We won't go into it, but it's really, it's almost like a cringeworthy humor. Very pun worthy.
There's a lot of cringeworthy humor in this book.
Yeah. A lot of tongue in cheek stuff. But so Gorman tests Preston with like resolving this issue, but he says you can't use the Avengers and you can't use SHIELD because if this goes wrong, we don't want SHIELD's name dirtied by this.
In many ways, it's kind of a parody of like the trope of the Suicide Squad from DC. So that's exactly why they use the Suicide Squad, because they don't want, you know, the legitimate clean heroes to get dirty with having to kill presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
So they're going to hire a mercenary group, which in this case is only Deadpool.
Now, are you familiar with Gorman or Preston? Are they new to this series, or were they already
existing? I'm not familiar with them at all. Okay. I don't know if they came into being in this book series. As far as I know, they're just nameless or new SHIELD agents.
Okay. So from there, Preston is told by her assistant, Adsit, that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, is attacking New York. From there, we cut to this giant forearm lizard.
Which I thought was FDR somehow.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah. At first I was like, oh, is he taking a Godzilla form? But no, it's just a giant lizard that starts to get indigestion. Almost like, I thought maybe they were parodying Rampage, the old 80s video game. When they eat the wrong thing, they would get indigestion. Well, that's what happens here. And then all of a sudden, Deadpool erupts from the stomach of this creature along with Thor. And Thor seems to almost be like when you hook up with someone you shouldn't, you know, don't tell people that we were teaming up to do this mission.
Yeah, and then Deadpool references the long-running Marvel series, like Marvel team-ups.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, Thor's like, no, don't say anything.
Yeah,
He has to do the fly of shame.
And while they kill this creature that was terrorizing New York, and everybody seems to just hate Deadpool. Is that like a common thing?
Yeah, or they don't know who he is, or they're not aware of his full superpowers, and they don't know that he's like messed up, like when he takes off his mask. So yeah, they either hate him or aren't aware of him, or just treat him like a has-been.
Okay.
And there's a lot of quick jokes, I should say. We can't obviously go through all of them.
No, there's way too many.
We'll just use this one as an example where he comes through and then some guy says chest burster, referencing aliens.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of like
meta references
thrown at you.
Yeah. Tons of meta references. So Deadpool is immediately kind of conscripted to fight FDR. While this fight is happening, I'm pretty sure there's a caricature of Patton Oswalt who like disses improv comics.
Exactly.
And Deadpool wins the fight with FDR because when they're resurrected, they seem to come back with supernatural abilities like super strength. They can levitate and transport themselves. There's lots of Ghostbusters references in here, and it almost feels like they drew some inspiration from like the ghosts from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, no, they definitely drew some inspiration from Ghostbusters and a little bit from Pet Sematary because they're all evil when they're resurrected.
Yeah. And aliens, which happens at the end. Deadpool winds up winning the fight by electrocuting FDR on the third rail. During this, Preston recruits Deadpool into fighting these presidents by offering him a couple $1 million.
Right.
From there, they go to Liberty Hall in Philadelphia, where all the presidents are there. And one of them's harassing Jimmy Carter. They think he's dead.
Who isn't dead at this time?
They think he's dead and he's not. Deadpool bursts into the hall and is immediately shot in the back of the head by Lincoln, which I thought was a funny reference to Lincoln.
And then he says he always wanted to do that. Yeah.
The book moves at a pretty good clip. It's long, but moves very fast.
Oh, yeah. No, it hammers you with so many. It's like a Family Guy episode. It hammers you with so many references and slapstick jokes from one and the other. You barely have time to process all of it. I know that sounds weird reading. Like you think, oh, well, you can read it at your pace, right? Unlike a show. But it feels like it just goes by so fast.
Yeah.
And just like a lot of zingers. And some of them may fall flat on you. They may not. But much like, you know, some of these shows like Family Guy, it just throws it at the wall and sees what hits for you.
Yeah, what's going to stick? While Deadpool's brain is healing, he has this fantasy with a couple different Marvel characters on a beach fighting over him. From there, he's woken up by the spirit of Ben Franklin, who somehow gained the ability to turn himself when he died into electricity, because that's what he had been studying.
So he's basically been in purgatory living on Earth.
But by his own choice, like he uses it to, he explains that he's been exploring America all these decades.
Well, he's kind of a perv, too, so I don't know exactly what he means by exploring America either.
Well, there's a lot of information that has come out about how much debauchery went on with the founding fathers, especially when they get together. Right. But we cut to a graveyard where George Washington and John Kennedy are holding the necromancer and demanding that he resurrects Washington's army. And eventually he gets away, but in doing so, he loses his book and Washington picks it up. Cutting back to Liberty Hall, Preston tells Deadpool that now Teddy Roosevelt is big game hunting at the LA Zoo.
Right.
So he goes there to stop him. It ends horribly. Deadpool winds up killing Teddy Roosevelt, but kills this elephant.
This might be my favorite scene of the whole book, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, really?
It encompasses like everything about Deadpool, like how he tries to solve problems but creates bigger issues. So essentially what happens is this elephant gores Deadpool
on his
and then entraps Roosevelt. And then, as told by Ben Franklin, electricity is supposed to free the ghost or kill them or bust them or something like that. So he tells the elephant, who obviously doesn't understand English, to let go of Roosevelt, which the elephant doesn't. And then, Deadpool basically electrocutes both of them. And then the artistry is amazing, where it just shows the elephant engulfed in flames and its skeleton husk just standing for the longest time. I thought it was brilliant as he was trying to explain, Deadpool was trying to explain to the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that, hey, you know, I tried. I told him to let go, but he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that chapter is called We Fought at a Zoo, which is a pun on that terrible We Bought a Zoo
movie. We Bought a Zoo.
So this chapter ends with Deadpool going to New York to see Doctor Strange to get some help, which starts chapter 3, which is called Doctor Strange Lives or How I Learned Deadpool Was the Bomb.
Right.
It feels like Deadpool was writing this book, you know.
Oh, for sure.
There's so many. I mean, I know Deadpool can break the fourth wall and talk to the audience and knows when he's in a comic book, but a lot of it just feels like his own ego stroke. Like this is what he would title things. So from there, Dr. Strange informs Deadpool and Preston that the necromancer brought the presidents back. But when you resurrect the dead, it removes their humanity, which is what you were saying, like how it's very similar to Pet Cemetery. And then he tells him that he's going to work on this. He's going to meditate and try and figure out a solution to this problem. The necromancer winds up using some of his magic, and Dr. Strange is able to hone in on him, and they find out that Lincoln, Washington, and Ford are at this dentist's office trying to get Washington some new teeth. Deadpool is teleported by Strange to the office, but he leaves Benjamin Franklin behind, and the reason why is because Benjamin Franklin slept with his girlfriend Clea back in the 70s, which there's a little sub-note saying, look this up, it really did happen, so I did. And what it turns out is Clea and Strange were like traveling through time, different eras of America. Mm-hmm. And while they're there, Clea is left behind with Franklin while Dr. Strange is going to go off and do something. Well, they wind up getting drunk and like he seduces her.
What?
And it's not explicitly shown, but it's implied that Benjamin Franklin and Clea sleep together. But then when Dr. Strange comes back and kind of confronts the situation, turns out it was the spell that was put on her and Benjamin Franklin was actually, it wasn't a real Benjamin Franklin who was off signing the Declaration of Independence that day, something like that.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, that's funny. So it really did happen.
Yeah. It's an actual storyline from the 1970s run of Doctor Strange, which I think is when Doctor Strange came out, was in the 70s, right?
Yeah, that's when it definitely, yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s. From there's a big fight inside the dentist's office. Doctor Strange takes the necromancer to the astral plane to get some backstory on him, which I didn't feel like was 100% necessary. It didn't really...
Well, it was interesting because Doctor Strange was like, well, how did this guy figure out how to do necromancing? Because that's a pretty powerful, you know, level of magic. And the way the guy explained it, I kind of thought he didn't actually have necromancing. He explains it that he wished his, guinea pig or hamster would come back to life after it had died. And it eventually came back to life after he wished enough. But to me, I thought, well, maybe the guinea pig or hamster wasn't actually dead and he just made a mistake. And it was just some dumb luck that he thought that's actually what happened. And then it ends up that he was recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D. And you actually see his insignia has a third eye on it as well as the S.H.I.E.L.D. symbol. So it's like he's part of the special magic unit of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah. We come to find out that Gorman was actually part of this group that trained him, like built up his abilities.
Right, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. magic unit.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. You know, you think about it, if you have to deal with superheroes of all sorts, you need to have one that understands magic so you can fight magical demons.
From there, it travels to Watergate where Nixon is at. They wind up fighting Nixon and Deadpool at mm-hmm. the same time. Doctor Strange shows up and gives Deadpool this magic sword that has dead president killing abilities.
Yeah, I guess it was Washington's sword,
yeah,
and then he enchanted it somehow. So he doesn't have to use electricity anymore. He can just use the sword to like slay presidents.
Yeah, which Deadpool uses to kill Nixon. during this fight, they use Nixon's helicopter, the one when he left the White House and he did the peace signs. President Ford, who was his successor, winds up tripping into the rotor of the rear rotor of the helicopter and dies, which is funny because Ford was sort of infamous for being clumsy.
Yeah, like when you and I were growing up, I mean, we didn't really grow up with Ford, but I knew it from SNL. That's how I knew it because Chevy Chase would do his Ford impersonation and I would see him always tripping and falling. Yeah.
The next chapter is the quick and the dead and the really dead. It starts off with in Florida, with President Kennedy getting killed because Deadpool tricks him by dressing as Marilyn Monroe.
It's pretty funny. I liked how he tricked him into it.
From there, Deadpool's like, hey, we only have so many pages to do this, so we're going to montage killing all the presidents. Right. So we jump from Golden Gate Bridge to the Hoover Dam, where the Hoover Dam's namesake is trying to blow it up. Then to the San Onofre power plant, the infamous one that looks like a couple of breasts, which is referenced in The Naked Gun. At the power plant, Lincoln shoots Deadpool in the head once again. And Lincoln and a bunch of the remaining presidents escape to Vegas because they're going to blow it up. In Vegas, it's at an MMA fight. And we get a name drop on Scott Aukerman, who is famous from Comedy Bang Bang. Abe Lincoln shows up, challenges the MMA fighter, who in turn is challenged by Deadpool. This whole thing is so many meta references in here. You get an illustration of during the fight of Posehn and two other men who I'm fairly certain are Jerry Dugan and Tony Moore. You also see the back of Daredevil's head.
Oh, I didn't notice his Daredevil's head. That's
funny. You see the little horns and a red hat.
That's weird that he's in Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know what he'd be doing there. Deadpool winds up winning and decapitates Lincoln, but at the last minute, President Taft, who was like the heaviest president of all time,
right,
flies in.
Well, he was just been in the bathtub the whole time.
Yeah.
So he rescues Lincoln's head.
Yeah.
And puts it on a rubber ducky.
Yeah.
And then takes off.
And then they fly up to the International Space Station where Reagan is waiting and plans to use the secret Russian defunct nuclear missile base to fire missiles at America. Benjamin Franklin transports Deadpool back up to the ISS, the International Space Station, and he's immediately tricked into releasing these chimps by the chimps on the station and winds up killing a bunch of them. Again,
at first they seemed like peaceful chimps, and the minute he released them, suddenly they turned into Planet of the Apes. It was like kill man, eat man.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's tons of jokes about Planet of the Apes in there, too. There's just a ton of, like, Marvel meta references in this whole scene on the space station. They take jabs at Reagan's acting career and political career. Like, Reagan makes a joke about Jodie Foster.
Right.
The guy who tried to assassinate Reagan back in the early 80s did it to impress Jodie Foster. I don't know. It was just, like, lots of quick little drops like that.
Right. I mean, it's almost like hearing a Dennis Miller joke sometimes. Like, there's so many references and
deep cuts,
and historical references. Sometimes you can't keep track of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So the plan is that Reagan's going to launch these nuclear missiles at America and destroy it. He breaks the launch controls so that Deadpool can't stop it. Turns out he can by just, if they're not launched, they're not armed. So he's like, oh, I'll just destroy the space station in the atmosphere. Reagan and Deadpool fight. This goes on for a couple of different pages. And then Deadpool wins by sucking Reagan out through some holes in the structure, like Aliens 4.
Like Aliens.
Yeah, like Aliens 4. Yeah.
Although I did like right before then, Deadpool gutted Reagan and then all these jelly beans came out.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, like Reagan was a big fan of jelly beans, and it was gross because like Deadpool ate some of the jelly beans from Reagan's gut, and he was grossed out by the fact that one of them was licorice flavored. It's just like, yeah, there's just like a ton of jokes assaulting your brain as you're reading this.
Yeah, the Dugan and Posehn must have had so much fun writing this this book. And this chapter is called Star Wars, Semicolon, Revenge of the Gipper. Back on this helicarrier, Lyndon Johnson and Washington follow the Necromancer and Ben Franklin when they literally bamf into the helicarrier. Right. This big fight breaks out, and during it, Washington snaps Preston's neck, which Deadpool is really hurt by. Because he's like, you know, everything has been taken away from me. I don't have much in this life. Right. I don't have any friends. And this is one person that I considered a friend. I was like, well, were they really friends? I don't think she...
Well, she believed in him. So, you know.
He took that as
most
friendship.
Most people think he's a loser.
Yeah.
And she was actually giving him praise and saying, you know, he did a great job.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. A respect, but maybe not friendship on her part. And then Washington slices Deadpool's neck, and the Necromancer transports Deadpool and Preston away before any further damage can be done.
To the National Mall.
Yeah, which the title is punned, M-A-U-L, as in fight.
Right.
Taft ends up attacking Deadpool at the National Mall, but is stopped by Adsit, who is Preston's assistant once again. But this time he's wearing a mechanical suit, almost like from Avatar.
Totally.
And Aliens. Adsit lets Deadpool know that other presidents have died. And this is that funny other montage reference that you were talking about where
they were basically killed by civilians or buses somehow.
Gangsters.
Washington's in the center, like, sphere, right? That he's conjuring some dark magic.
Which reminded me of Ghostbusters 2 at the end of it.
Right.
When Viggo creates that pink shell.
Right, totally.
Around the
slime shell.
Yeah, around the MoMA or whatever museum that was. Deadpool enters the barrier and in doing so kills himself, but he's somewhat resurrected by a woman. You can't see her face. She's very godlike. And she tells him, he's like, am I dead? And he's, and she's like, no, this is in between your heartbeats. You're about to be resurrected.
Right. I thought it was going to be Jean Grey or something, because, you know, she usually, like, is great on resurrection with a phoenix power or something like that, but it ended up not being her.
We don't know who it is.
Yeah, no.
Which,
and it could be revealed on later issues, but yeah, at least this one, we don't know who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of things that are planted that you could tell are going to pay off in future issues or trades. So Deadpool comes in. Eventually, there's a big fight between him and Washington. Eventually, defeats Washington by breaking his neck the same way that Washington broke Preston's neck. And when he does this, Washington returns to his normal self, his head at least does. Right. And he says, you know, I was trapped. I was able to see what I was doing, but I wasn't able to stop myself. Right. Deadpool has no sympathy and winds up kicking his head into Lincoln's monument.
Into his crotch.
Yeah. At which Washington says, I deserve that. Gorman shows up, threatens to withhold Deadpool's money, but gets his comeuppance. This whole thing kind of reminded me like the end of any of the Lampoon movies where the bad guy, the jerk, gets his comeuppance, right, you know, in front of.
Right.
Which I was like, okay, I could get that. If these two guys are probably big comedy fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Put that in there on purpose. And then it ends with the necromancer having put Preston's consciousness into Deadpool's brain.
Right, which is probably hell for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although Gorman didn't get any repercussions, really. Like, I thought he was going to, because he was ahead of the whole project, the S.H.I.E.L.D. magic project. So it was implied that he was the reason why the necromancer, you know, actually had those powers,
yeah,
and everything like that. And he never got any punishment or anything like that.
He got his mustache ripped out of his face.
The middle part of his mustache ripped off by Deadpool, yeah.
So what'd you think of the book?
I actually really liked it. I felt the art was strong. It sold the comedy well. I thought the writing was really strong in terms of, like, there was so many jokes. Not all of them clicked for me, but it was just, you know, it was a spitfire of jokes. And I thought the plot was decent. It reminded me, at first when I saw Dead Presidents, I was like, oh, is this like a Point Break kind of like reference where there were going to be guys who were dressed like the presidents or clones of the presidents who are fighting? I didn't realize it would be a Ghostbuster like resurrection thing. So, you know, it's not world breaking, but I think it's definitely worth a read. It's fun, especially if you've seen the Deadpool movies. I think it's crass enough and meta enough that it really sells this version of Deadpool that I like, which is, you know, kind of this jokey, like even more so than Spider-Man. Like, used to be that Spider-Man was the guy who would joke in a fight. This guy jokes like every second he has. There isn't a moment where he's not joking. Even when he's falling, he's joking. Even when he's shot, he's joking. So overall, I liked it. How about you, Johnny?
I liked it. I don't know if I'd continue reading it. It was fun to read. I've never read a Deadpool story before, so it was fun to read this. And I'm a big fan of Brian Posehn's. We both enjoyed the cringe pun humor of The Last Christmas. And this carried over. It was, you know.
Oh, for sure.
It carried over well with their writing. Like, oh, okay, I get what these guys do. I can see why they were chosen to relaunch Deadpool with this Marvel Now series. I forgot to mention there was a good joke about they took a stab at Rob Liefeld.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, because they make a reference about someone, I think it's Ben Franklin, you know, kind of makes fun of his origins by saying, oh, yeah, weren't you the guy that used to have all the pockets on your legs and the, you know, just like making fun of Rob Liefeld's, you know,
pouches.
Yeah. In fact, I think that's what he says, the pouches. But
yeah. Well, you know, Deadpool was a Rob Liefeld creation. And that's when he was first created in the X-Factor books and such. Yeah, he was much more serious. And so that's why I like this version.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a fun book. If you're a Deadpool fan, you should definitely pick it up. I think you would get a big kick out of it. I really enjoyed the art, but I don't think I would.
It's more granular. I found that art. There's another artist like this. I like that kind of textured look. Like, you can almost feel the pox in someone's skin, so to speak.
Yeah, there's a comic I like, really, an illustrator I like a lot called Raphael Grandpa. He's a Spanish artist, and I love his work, and him and Tony Moore, they're very different but very similar, very textured. You can see the warts and all and stuff. Where can people follow the podcast?
You can follow the podcast on Insta and Twitter at GN Explorers Club.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening. And I think we only got a couple more episodes left for this season. And then we'll take a couple weeks off and be back with our summer special.
Our summer quarantine special.
I hope not. Jeez. I hope not. Cool. We'll see you later.
Bye.